Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming this day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are a lot of announcements, but I'm not going to read over every single one of these, so you can do it yourself and then take it home and maybe put it on the refrigerator and keep a lookout for the announcements. First thing I would like to do, because we're starting this Sunday with the junior church kids and the teachers in the service until we get to where Bill comes up and is getting ready to read the scripture, then they're going to slip out and go to junior church and have their own worship service. But at this time, what I want to do is have, because we've had basically three teachers doing it for several years, we've added a few teachers, and I imagine they're not all here, so it'll be a first year for some of them, and they're going to go over and have a training. So for just a moment, could we have all those junior church teachers and those that are leading the Bible fellowship in any small groups, would you stand for just a moment? The previous and new leaders, teachers. Don't be afraid. We're not going to hurt you. Thank you for your willingness to work with our youth and our adults, and education is so important, and we welcome the youth of our church into the service today. And the directories have arrived, and you can see Jenny or Mabe. Jenny and Mabe, raise your hand, because not everybody may know you. Mabe over here, and Jenny at the very back. They will help you get your directories. The Bible Fellowship, formerly called Adult Sunday School, will resume next Sunday. And then the Sunday after that, they will get started with the Bible 30-Day Challenge that will go on for 5 weeks following the program, along with the Bible series that I will be preaching from the pulpit for 5 weeks. One of those Sundays, I believe, that John White will be here, and I'll be asking him if I've got the thing right. I believe he'll be on the 29th September. That'll be the worship theme, and I'll be asking him to preach on the subject of worship. So we'll be talking about that. You can read about the Bread of Life food pantry and the things that they need. The Deacon's Coat Drive, and next Sunday is, and I'm skipping around a little bit, September the 15th is our first annual National Back to Sunday Church service. So we're handing out cards asking you to invite people to church. We're trying to make a big deal out of it, and we're tying this in with the Deacon's Pig Roast, so you can invite someone to church, have a nice worship service, and then go straight over to the Pig Roast with the Chinese auction and gifts and a lot of fun and laughter. You know, we have a great time. So it's so really a great Sunday to invite someone that's very non-threatening. And Johnny has some cards to hand out. Do you want to do that now while I'm... If you've not received a card or you need more, see one of them and they'll give you some more cards, because you can have five or six to hand out if you know people that might come. And even tell them, you'll be glad to come pick them up to bring them to church if need be. The Bible in 30 Days, that was the last program. The new program, the Bible Fellowship is going to pay for their books, because they give money on Sunday morning, so they can order it as a class. The class that I'll be teaching will be start on 25th, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at my home. The books will be approximately $10. That helps cover the ordering, shipping, and all that. So if you want a book and you're going to be in my class, please sign up in the back if you could be in the other class, or if you go sign up at the back and you could be in that Bible Fellowship, put Bill's class of Bible Fellowship beside it, so I'll know exactly what to do, because I want to try to get those ordered today and hand them out next Sunday, so we'll be right on schedule for the books. Okay. So we do start a junior church today. They're asking that all adults who plan to help with it to please come to junior church today when they slip out so they can show you where the items are and kind of what they're doing. So they thank you for being a part of that also. Now, last week I showed you a film for just a minute. I'm going to do it again today. And what happened last week, the files were corrupted in my computer. And Cliff came over and uncorrupted, and I came back down, worked with it, and everything is working properly now. So I'm actually going to show you two this morning. One you'll probably be okay with. One, I might just say goodbye now. It could be my last Sunday here in this conservative church, so we'll see. But I was kind of doing the second one for the young people, showing it. But it's humorous. I think that you'll like it, and this is not something that we do all the time. It's just going to be a special thing today. The thing takes about 3.5 minutes. Can y'all see it? Okay, you're going to love this, or I'll see you in heaven. I may have to bump the sound down a little bit. I don't know. We'll see, but I will if it's too loud. Y'all just, a couple of you, put your fingers in yours. But don't do it fun. If it's really, really too loud, let me know.
Sunday, that's what's up. You ain't never seen a church.
Doing the rapping. I'm scared to try. You gotta have fun. If you haven't done it, sign your red pad and pass it down with name, address, that type of information, so we'll have it on record and appreciate it. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise is number 293, Rise Up, O Church of God. You continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and compassion. We praise you for providing us with salvation and eternal life. Forgive us when we do not respond to you in true discipleship. Forgive us for not taking the time to read the scriptures and pray. Help us live our lives as dedicated members of your church. Remind us that no price is too big to pay to be in your kingdom. May we become more like Jesus in all areas of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
with a sense of true unity recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, please introduce yourself.
Oh,
Responsive reading, 714 in the back of your hymnal, Psalm 139. It's actually one of the lectionary passages for today. 714, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
This time I'll call the elder on the door, Anna, come forth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a prayer request this morning from Diane Kocher-Hook. She's going in for surgery for her hip on the 13th, so keep her in your thoughts and prayers this week. For praise requests from Suzanne Connors, we have for her father, John Smith. He is off suicide watch. His medication has been changed, and he has less pain and a better attitude, so we pray that that continues. Also, Kathy Segi, praise requests for Brad Nichols. Praise God for a newfound friendship on his birthday. And also from Kathy Segi for her cousin Barb Worson. Praise of thanks for all the prayers. Barb is in rehab now and doing wonderfully. And that's it.
Handed to me, I would like to add this, Mary Grace Carmody. Some of you may have seen it on television. A 44-year-old lady was killed in a head-on crash the other night. She's a friend of Jim Oliver, who is with us today, worked for him, really managed the restaurant, and friend of Verna's, and I've known her for several months, so just a really nice lady. Someone crossed the line and ran head-on into her and another lady, and everyone was killed, so let's be in prayer for that, and for all the family and friends, and just all the emotions that go with that, and God bless her. Also a personal request for some family members and some situations that are going on, and for someone that I'm trying to help. Several people I'm trying to help, and unspoken requests for them. As we go to the Lord, I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer, saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, and we thank you for it, because it is the day that you have made. And help us to rejoice and be glad within it, because we're often bombarded with the negativity in life, people speaking negative things to us, even people attacking us personally or our families and many times our country. Help us to be a positive people. Help us to look forward to the kingdom of God. Help us to work to build your kingdom, to build up your church. You have called us to be your children and given us eternal life and salvation. We thank you for that. Help us to be at Glenshaw Valley the church that you have called us to be. Lead us and guide us in all that we do as we seek your direction for growth and for unity and community, for spiritual growth, for outreach, all the things that we hope to do, that Glenshaw Valley can be in this community for many years to come, reaching out and touching people's lives, helping the name of Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel be spread. And because we believe in you as Lord and Savior, and the Bible tells us we can come to you in your name and present our prayers to our Heavenly Father, we do that this morning as the community of faith here at Glenshaw. We believe that there's power in prayer, especially when people are gathered together and really focus and believe that we pray not just in church, but also when we go home and have our prayer list. Remind us to do so. So we lift up all these prayer requests to you, the ones mentioned in the bulletin and the Valley newsletter, written down today, the personal, private ones that may not have been mentioned, the ones people are thinking about maybe now for themselves or a family member or a friend, whatever it may be. We thank you for hearing our prayers and answering them according to your will. And Lord, we thank you that you came upon this earth and you taught and you healed and you preached and you left this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is in your book on 373. It's also on the screen where he leads me. And I want to point out it's got a refrain, which means you sing verse 1, then you sing refrain, verse 2, refrain, verse 3, and then the refrain. Let's bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for this day, and we thank you for the gifts that you've given to the church, to us, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to use them for your glory. Let everything that we do point not to us, but point back to you, that others would find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, find salvation and eternal life, and find some peace and happiness and contentment in this life. Help us to be a church that rallies around those who are hurting, loving one another, and reaching out to those who need help. Lord, thank you for every gift that these people give, and so many things that we don't know about them, helping their neighbors and other organizations. Bless them, Lord. Bless Glenshaw Valley. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and even our friend. Amen. Thank you. Bill's coming to read the scripture. Missed him last week, and someone asked if someone else could read the scriptures, and yes, and Bill will be glad to share his reading duties with someone else if you'd like to read sometimes.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. I was going to try and wrap the scripture, but I just don't have the talent.
I hear you.
In today's scripture, Jesus urges us to consider the cost of being a disciple. Jesus also knew that being a disciple would not be easy because we are still living in the world. He first tells us that we must love him so much that all other loves are hatred in comparison. Note, he is not saying that we should hate others. Certainly that would go against all his other teachings. He compares living in the world as his disciple as to carrying a cross. In John 17, verses 14 through 16, Jesus prayed for his disciples. He prayed for us, saying, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And then finally, Jesus warns us to consider rationally, not just emotionally, the cost of discipleship if we make our decision to follow him. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Luke 14, 25 through 33. Large crowds were following with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and child, brother and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciples." Bless the reading and hearing of the scripture.
Thank you. Bob was single and lived with his father, and Bob worked in the family business, a very, very successful business. When it came apparent that his father would not live much longer and that he would inherit quite a fortune, Bob decided to find a wife with whom to share this abundant wealth. One evening at an investment meeting, Bob spotted the most beautiful woman that he'd ever seen in his life. Her natural beauty, he said, just took his breath away. "See, I may look just like an ordinary guy," he said to her, "but in just a few years, my father will die, and I'm going to inherit $200 million. Impressed, the woman asked for his business card. 3 days later, this beautiful woman became Bob's stepmother. Gotta think for a second. Why wait on Bob, you know, and spend your whole life with him? You know, some people want the easy way out. They want to take from life without really giving back, even in the church. But this woman, you got to hand it to her, at least she had a plan. Winston Churchill told the British people during World War II that they had nothing to offer them but blood, sweat, toil, and tears in their fight against the enemies. Jesus spoke of the necessity of total commitment, even to the point of death, and he conveyed this in no uncertain terms when he said to his disciples, "You must take up your cross and follow me." But why was he so harsh? Because he knew where his disciples were headed. Andrew died on the cross. Simon was crucified. Bartholomew was flayed alive. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded. The other son, James, son of Alphaeus, was beaten to death. Thomas was run through with a lance. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Matthew was slain by the sword. Peter was crucified upside down. Thaddeus was shot to death with arrows. And Philip was hanged. Only John made it through without being killed, but he was exiled to a small island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. The demands that Jesus makes upon those who would follow him really are extreme. Christianity is not just a Sunday morning religion. It is a hungering for God. It should shake our foundations, topple our priorities, and make us, in a sense, strangers in this world. We learn in the text that a large crowd was traveling with Jesus. Now, in a large crowd, you have many motives with a lot of people. Some in this crowd are following because they have seen before what Jesus can do, and they're waiting to be fed. Some are following because they've heard of Jesus' ability to heal, and they want to be healed. Still others are following just for the excitement. So it's safe to say that only a few are really totally committed to this itinerant preacher. And aware of the motive, Jesus turns to the crowd and tells them what it is truly involved in being totally committed if you're going to follow him. And at this moment, the crowd learns that we also, what we need to follow Jesus. And we must establish our priorities. Too often we allow things to stand in the way of what we consider is important. And so hobbies sometimes become more important than our children or our spouses. A job takes precedence over a marriage, and children and television displaces family conversations at dinner time. We have the best of intentions, but the priorities we know to be vital to a good and happy life never get carried out in our day-to-day living. Someone has calculated, and you've probably seen lists like this in the paper or books or on the internet, if you average, say, 70 years of life, someone has worked it out that we sleep approximately 23 years, work 16 years, watch television 8 years, eat 6 years, travel 6 years, leisure 4.5 years, illness 4 years, dressing 2 years, religion 0.5 years, a half a year, totaling 70 years. When put in those terms, we see how little a priority spiritual matters is for most people. But Jesus really is a demanding leader. We like to think of him as so nice and loving and kind. But Jesus said, "So therefore, whoever you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Possessions cannot stand between you and the Lord. Even something as noble as the love of family, as good and right as that is, cannot stand in the way of your commitment to the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "If any man would follow me, would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Laziness, fear, selfishness, ego, family, nothing should stand between you and your call to be a disciple and to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ demands our obedience. Jesus is not some wishy-washy little fellow coming up to us with hat in hand, mealy mouth, hoping to win favor, saying very softly, please, sir, please, ma'am, may I have a word with you? No, he comes to us in power, the Lord of history, and makes demands. Take up your cross and follow me. To follow Jesus, we must first establish our priorities, and secondly, we need to count the cost. Jesus says, one of you wants to build a tower over a vineyard, so you keep a lookout over thieves who might want to steal your harvest. Before you build, that is the first thing. What is the first thing you will do? Will you not first sit down and estimate how much it will cost you to build the tower? It is a rhetorical question, and the answer is yes. I will first count the cost. You do not want to appear to be a fool by laying the foundation, then running out of money, abandoning the project, and becoming the laughingstock of the community. When Jesus told the story, he was on his way to Jerusalem. All around him, the crowds followed, thinking that they were on the way to build a new empire with Jesus as the king. He, knowing the path, though, led to the cross and death. What a contrast between what Jesus was trying to get across and what the people wanted to happen. I used to think that the crowds in the Bible followed Jesus because he was so wonderful. I really later learned the tragic truth that so many followed because of really shallow reasons. They just wanted something from Jesus. What we must do is sit down and take stock and ask ourselves, do we have the stamina to go the distance? And that's really the heart of the matter. Jesus wants the crowd to answer with question and teach every person must be personally respond to that question. Am I a disciple of Jesus? Do I accept Jesus? Will I follow him throughout my life and at the end of my life be able to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant? Don't let it be said of you, my dear friends, he began to build but he was not able to finish. She followed Jesus, but she did not learn the lessons that were taught, even attending church all of her life. He followed the Lord, but he did not carry the cross. To follow Jesus, we must establish our priorities, we must count the cost, and we must be willing to pay the price. In no uncertain terms, Jesus told the crowd, any of you who is not willing to give up everything cannot be my disciple. Now, you have to catch that, being willing. It doesn't necessarily mean that if you become his disciple, you have to give up your fortune, or you have to give up hobbies, or give up your families. You just have to have that attitude of willingness. Jesus spells out the extreme high cost of discipleship. He says it'll cost you everything possibly that you have. If you should choose to follow, there is no part of life immune to that call. Look at the great biblical characters. Abraham was asked to give up his son. Moses, he gave up the wealth and the power of the Pharaoh's court, the richest man and most powerful in the world. Matthew gave up his lucrative profession as a tax collector. Paul gave up his prestigious position as a Pharisee. I've often wondered what would come of the church if Jesus' disciples had not made those ultimate sacrifices. So yeah, I'll believe in Jesus, but taking up that cross and doing all this and going into those strange lands and telling people, that's a little much to ask of me. If they had not paid the price of discipleship, where would we be today? Where would the church be today? Would there be a church today? And what kind of church would we be if the 12 had not put down and not taken up the crosses? Several centuries ago, in a mountain village in Europe, a wealthy nobleman wondered what legacy he could leave to the townspeople. He made a good decision. He decided to build them a church. No one was permitted to see the plans or see the inside of the church until it was finished. At the grand opening, people gathered and they marveled at the beauty of the new church. Everything had been thought of and included. And it was, everyone said, this is a masterpiece. This is wonderful, beautiful. But then somebody said, wait a minute. There are no lamps in the church. No light. The nobleman pointed to some brackets along the wall, like we have lamps. And then he gave each family their own personal lamp, which they were to bring with them each time they came to worship. So each time you're here, the place where you are seated will be lighted because you're here and you brought your lamp and you lighted it. Each time you're not here, the place will be dark. This is to remind you that whenever you fail to come to church, some part of the house of God will be dark and you will be missed. I think that story makes a very significant point about the importance of our commitment and our loyalty to the church. The poet Edward Everett's tale put it like this. I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something I can do. Let me ask you, what if every member of our church supported the church the way that you do? What kind of church would we be? What if every single member served the church, attended the church, loved the church, shared the church, and gave to the church exactly as you do? What kind of church would Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church be? May God bless you. Amen. Closing hymn 376, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Thank you.
remind you about National Back to Church Sunday next week. Hope you'll invite someone to come out and for the Deacon's Pig Roast. And it's always good food and a lot of fun. And remind those who want to be in one of the small groups Sunday morning or Wednesday night, a sign-up sheet on the back table so I can get those books ordered. And you can either, if you're not in Bill's class, you can either give me a check for $10 or you can just give it straight to Carol and write a Bible study book, and I won't have to worry, but I'll order it and then get reimbursed for that. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you go thinking about your relationship with Jesus Christ, what Jesus means to you personally, the salvation that is extended to you, the promise, the guarantee of eternal life, the help that he's given you to get through this life when at times it is so difficult and it seems as we have nowhere to turn. Look to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He helps us. He gives us strength. But may we also learn to look to the church, to the family of God, to one another. And may we be willing to reach out, to love, accept, be positive, to help heal. May we learn to be true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.